Welcome to the MILF Way. Mindful, intuitive, lifestyle, fitness. An all-encompassing wellness podcast featuring some of the most successful, influential parents and experts out there. I'm your host, Cherokee Luker, mother, model, fitness trainer, and wellness enthusiast. Join me as we dive into all things MILF. Hi everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode. Today I'm sitting down with Alexandria Caparelli to yap about all things beauty, hustle, the road to success, pregnancy, motherhood, and wellness. Alex and I are actually due one day apart, so we bond on our experiences with having toddlers while being pregnant with our second. And Alex's story of how she founded an extremely successful business called Hairy Little Things is one of hard work, grit, and hustle. And it's such a great reminder that your dreams don't happen overnight. They take time and lots of trial and error. Alex has lived a very interesting life, and I can't wait for you all to hear her story in this episode. She's also the ultimate beauty queen, holding the titles of expert brow artist, makeup artist, and esthetician. And she drops so many great beauty and skincare tips for you guys to walk away with. She was also kind enough to offer the listeners 15% off your first time at all Hairy Little Things locations when you use the code MILF. So definitely do not miss out on that. They offer everything from brows, lashes, to lip blush. Can't wait for you all to enjoy our conversation. Let's dive on in.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Pure Mama Skincare, a deeply nourishing range of naturally powerful skincare designed to support you through pregnancy and postpartum. With their liquid gold belly oil, sellout magnesium body rub, and range of all-natural purpose-led products, Pure Mama is your absolute go-to for safe, effective, beautiful skincare. Shop now at puremama.com or join the Pure Mama community at puremama_skincare.
Okay, Alex,
hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. I feel like we've been trying to schedule this for so long.
Yeah.
It's so hard with our schedules.
I know. We're busy.
Yes, especially you. I mean, you're boss, baby.
I'm trying, girl. Fake it till you make it.
No, you have made it for sure.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
We're going to dive into all of that. But first, number one, congratulations.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. You guys, we are due one day apart.
I don't even know how that's possible.
Crazy.
I know.
Like, imagine if we go into labor on the same day. It's very, very likely.
Share the birthday.
Yeah. So you're having a boy, another boy.
Yes. Two boys. Yeah. Lucky me.
Yay. And I'm having a girl. So we shall see how, how it goes. Well, first, let's tell the audience how we met. We met for the first time in Italy.
Yes,
we in did. In Tuscany.
Yes.
So Alex was there, and she was doing hair and makeup for our really good friend Natalie, who is also pregnant. Yeah. And due
she's like a week
before us, yes. Which is crazy. So we met there at the wedding. We hit it off. Josh and your Vince. Man, Vince, hit it off too. And it was just such a fun time.
It was fun.
Natalie looked so beautiful.
She's the stunning, easiest canvas to ever work on.
Yeah.
Dream.
Yeah. Have we seen each other since?
No.
I don't think we have.
We haven't. No, I think we've attempted, but it didn't work out.
Which is crazy to think that that was...
Was that a year ago?
Yeah. It was.
October?
Yeah, because it was September of last year.
So yeah, our year anniversary.
Oh my God.
I know, that's crazy.
Wow.
Time flies.
That is wild. And now look at both of us. We're knocked up again.
I know. And we both have three-year-olds.
Yep.
Well, almost three-year-old for me, but
yeah,
three for you.
Crazy. Okay, so I would love for you to like take me back to where it all started. Like, where did you grow up? What was your upbringing like? Tell me all the things.
Okay. Little Alex grew up in the city of Orange in Orange County.
Okay. Yep.
I have two younger siblings, but I'm the oldest by seven, almost 8 years. My parents had me when they were super young. My mom was like 20 when she got pregnant. And then they decided to wait till they were like, you know, normal age to have my brother and sister. My parents are no longer together, but it's for the best because they're just polar opposites.
Yeah.
My mom is such a go-getter. She inspires me every day. She's the reason why I work my ass off. Got my work ethic from my mom. And then my dad is the sweetest person ever. He just has like such a genuine heart, and he always is like Mr. Do the Right Thing. He wants to do the right thing by everybody.
Yeah.
Even if that means it's not the best option for him. So I like to think I got a little bit of both.
Yeah.
From them.
So are you and your siblings close, like given the age gap?
Yeah. So me and my sister are super close, much closer now because she also has two babies, two boys.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So we're getting closer with age. But my brother, he's about to turn 21.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
I know. So he's just like, you know, he's living it up. I think once he gets a little older, we'll kind of come back together. But we are obsessed with each other. We love each other. I just don't see him that much
because
he's living life with his girlfriend, you know.
Oh, that's so cute. I know. I find birth order pretty interesting.
Yeah. I'm like their sister mom.
Right, exactly.
I always say that, yeah.
Because you were old enough to really, like, help out and pretty much, like, take care of them and probably babysit them, right?
Definitely, yeah. And, like, when I went away for school, they were, like, having all their pivotal moments as, like, little kids. So I definitely missed a lot. That's another reason why it was so important for me to have my babies closer together.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. So how did you transition from doing makeup? Because you did makeup full-time, right? You were a full-time makeup artist.
Yeah.
To starting Hairy Little Things.
So it's quite the journey.
Yeah.
Going back to childhood, my mom used to work at this company called Urban Decay. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Of course.
Hard Candy. I don't know if you remember.
That sounds very familiar.
They had like all the pastel nail polishes like back in the day. They were like the OG like pastel queens, if you will. But anyways, I think if I'm remembering correctly, Urban Decay bought out Hard Candy.
Okay.
Anyways, my mom did marketing for Urban Decay way back in the day. And my mom's like a hippie. She doesn't wear makeup. She has no idea where I came from. She thinks I'm like a
so
freak of nature.
You're an alien.
I'm an alien. She's like, why do you do all this stuff? But anyways, she's super natural. And I was little and she would get gratis from work.
Yeah.
And so she would bring her gratis home and I would just like die over it. I would play with it. And I'm like 7 years old.
It's like a little girl's dream though.
Totally. She's like, I'm not going to use any of this shit. Here, take it. So that's kind of where the passion started. Mm-hmm. And then before that, because of my grandma's an artist. So before this whole Urban Decay makeup thing, I just was always into art, always doing art competitions and just playing around because my grandma always did it. So it was always like appealing to me. And every Christmas she would buy me like my art sets and whatever. That was like our special thing. But with the gratis, that's kind of where it all started. And I just would always like, I would beg her to ditch school just to go play in the warehouse. And like,
that's so fun.
Play with all the makeup. They had like a gratis closet. And I would like go in and be like, Mom, can I take this? And she's like, you shouldn't, but like, it's fine. Just
wow.
So I had so much good stuff at
a
young
age. It's like
a kid
in a candy store.
Totally. So that's where makeup started. And then in middle school and high school, when we were, you know, doing the dances, I was like hustling my friends to do their makeup.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not doing this shit for free. Get like five girls lined up to do their makeup.
Wait, so when you were doing your friends' makeup in high school, what was the style then? Was
like
it so
smoky eyes?
Yeah, yeah.
Smoky.
Yeah.
You know the style.
Uh-huh.
It was like the nude lip, MAC see-through.
All MAC stuff.
It was the lip liner was like Oyster Bay or Oyster something with the MAC see-through lip gloss.
So nostalgic. Oh my God.
It was literally the girl in high school that would wear like a green smoky eye with strip lashes to school.
Love it. Oh my God. We all had that phase, though. We all went through that phase. Yes. What were we thinking?
I don't know. And my mom would be like, wipe this shit off. I'm like, no, like, this is me, mom, accept me.
Oh, I love you.
I'm that girl that's had every phase, purple hair, red hair.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's cool, though. I like that.
Makeup artists are known to be a little crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then after high school, my dad, because he is so traditional, he really wanted me to go to college. Mm-hmm. So that was like a thing for him. And I was like, okay, like, I don't really have any desire to do this, but I'll do it, but on my terms. So I was like, I do want to go somewhere away, but not super far.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to go to San Francisco. So I went to San Francisco. I actually just went and attended community college there. Mm-hmm. So I went, I did 2 semesters, and the only class I liked was art history.
Of course. Yeah. That was your passion.
That was my passion. And I told my dad, and he's like, are you going to be like a teacher? Are you going to work in a museum? Like, if you're not, then what are you doing here?
Right.
I'm like, can I be done here? And he said yes. And I ended up going to this school called SFIEC, which is a skincare institute in San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was kind of the start of everything. That's where I became an esthetician and met some really good connections.
How long does it take to become an esthetician?
So I think this was an 8-month program. If you become a cosmetologist, I think it's like 1.5 years. But okay. This was like an 8-month program, and you can expedite it depending on how many hours you get at whatever like time frame you're trying to, you know, finish by.
Yeah.
But yeah, so went to school to become an esthetician, and I was like, I always love skin. I was like, maybe this is kind of something that I'm going to get into, skincare, because I already loved makeup. And this is going to be like, you know, makeup, beauty starts with the skin first, you know?
Yeah, always.
And then I quickly realized I'm just not zen. Nobody wants to get a facial done by me. I'll talk your freaking ear off.
Because your red hair is coming out. Your red hair alter ego.
This was when I had purple hair.
Purple hair.
Yeah, bright purple hair. It wasn't for me. And I loved the hair removal, mainly eyebrows. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just became this like brow girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, this is my thing. Brows were having a moment then. This was like the dip brow era.
I don't know what that is.
Do you remember Anastasia?
Yeah.
It came in like it's like a gel almost.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a pomade. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it was dark.
Yeah.
And like solid.
A lot of makeup artists would use that on me. And I'd look in the mirror after and I'd just be like, oh, no.
It was like a very sharp, thin, archy brow.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so that's what we were doing then. And I was the queen of that.
Wow, times have changed.
Times have changed.
Thank God.
I know. But yeah, so then I just kind of became a brow girl, and I was doing makeup, and I met this woman in San Francisco. Her name was Christina, and she was a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And she was looking for a assistant. And I was like, okay, like, I'll be your assistant. She's not paying me shit. I'm just, like, cleaning her brushes and, like,
yeah,
whatever. And I'm like, sure, like, I need experience. So I started assisting her. And then once I started doing makeup with her, she was like, oh, shit, like, she's good.
Yeah.
So then she was having me do the makeup, and she'd be like,
would you take credit for it?
Yes. I feel like that's just what happens, though.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, it's just a part of it. And she introduced me to a lot of people that I'm very grateful for. So,
right.
Whatever.
It was worth it.
Yeah. It was worth it. And then I actually started working at a Sephora because she moved to New York. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm going to work at Sephora. I'm going to figure out what I'm doing with brows, with makeup, with whatever. I love assisting. I'm going to keep focusing on that until I can, like, book my own gigs kind mm-hmm. of deal. And she would give me, like, bullshit gigs that she didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, I need the practice. So, yeah, so she moved to New York. We kept in touch, and we would just kind of, like, chat about her jobs and how busy she is. And I was like, I want that. I want to move to New York, and I want to, if she's saying that I can assist her there, like, why not?
Fun.
Yeah. So I went to my boss at Sephora, and I was like, I want to move to New York. Like, is there a space for me? And they're like, well, not really, but I worked at, it was called the Beauty Studio, which mm-hmm. was like the center of the store where people did makeup.
Yeah.
So there's like the people working the Sephora that are like selling you stuff, but then there's the people that are doing the makeup selling you the products that they're using on you.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
It was fun. So I got to work on so many different faces and types of people. So it like helped me in whatever I was doing.
Right.
And they were like, well, since you work at the beauty studio, there's actually this opportunity coming up where we're sending people to New York, the Gansevoort Hotel in Meatpacking, to do this like beauty studio captain thing. It was basically, we were seeing this professional makeup artist, Tom Pichot. He partnered with Sephora to do a masterclass for the beauty studio captains. Mm-hmm. So I went, and I had already wanted to move to New York. And I was in the Meatpacking District at the Gansevoort Hotel doing all this stuff. And I was like, okay, it's a done deal. They sent me. And I was like, I need to talk to the Meatpacking District Sephora, try to get in there, because then I'm going to assist Christina. It's all going to be perfect.
Aww.
So it took like a lot of fighting, mm-hmm. but they did transfer me. So I ended up transferring to that Sephora and I started assisting Christina in New York.
So fun.
But it was crazy. She sent me on these fucked up jobs with like prostitutes, like high-end call girls. I definitely like got myself into some really...
like shady shit?
Shady situations.
What? Like what? Like, tell us the crazy.
Okay. This guy's name. Oh my God. I remember his name. Was his name.
Okay.
So this was like one of the first jobs she sent me to. I wasn't assisting. And Christina, by the way, love her for what she did for me, but she was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
She would make me like pick up her daughter from school.
Oh.
She would like open up a canister of weed and be like, ooh, smell it. Like on a job where at like a super like high end job. Like just.
Oh my God. Just wild.
She was like a free spirit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. Love that. I go to this guy's house. Uh-huh. She didn't warn me, though. There was no preface to this.
Oh, God.
I go there. There's, like, these young-ass girls that I'm doing makeup for. I'm like, whatever. And then there was, like, this older lady that was, like, there, like...
Madam? Was it
yes.
their madam?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So... I'm like, what's going on here? He's old and he was fucking creepy. Ugh. He kept trying to like sit close to me and like try to make us like drink vodka with him. Like it was just so weird. And it was late at night and it was in his house. It was just fucking strange. So then I start like poking around. I'm like, oh, like what is this for? They show me the website and it all clicks. And I'm like, I'm scared.
Oh my God.
So I remember like texting my boyfriend at the time, like letting him know like what was happening. And he's like, Alex, what the fuck? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm just here. He's like, can you leave? I'm like, I need to finish the job. Like,
wow.
I'm sure you've been in some weird.
Very weird. In the beginning stages, I feel like you just kind of got to go through those
things. You got to go through it.
Builds character.
One of my other favorite stories with her was we were at a We Dad campaign, the hair care line.
Uh-huh.
And it was with all the girls, all the models, and I was downstairs doing the actual makeup, and Christina was upstairs on the roof doing, like, the touch-ups. But she got to have credit for everything, fine, whatever. And I was, like, I was super young, so I was, like, the same age as all these models. We're, like, laughing, having fun, you know me, like,
yeah.
just talking to everybody, big personality. Mm-hmm. And I don't know set etiquette yet at this stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, tone it down, tone it down. So I'm just like having a good time with these girls and we're chatting and like the main lady, I don't know what her role was, but I don't know if she was like the creative director, if she was the CEO or what, but like
yeah.
this bitch came in, fur coat, sunglasses on, boots, like she was like business.
Yeah.
Like, and she was bitchy too. Like she was running the show for that day. She
Throat.
Just had like energy that was just like, don't talk to me. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just. So whatever. So me and the girls were like chatting and laughing and somehow we started talking in like British accents. I can't tell you how, but we were.
And then once you start, you can't stop. I feel like I've done that so many times with my friends.
I don't know what it was.
I know.
But I never spoke to the lady, the fur coat lady.
Yeah.
Guess what? She has a British accent.
Mm.
So somehow she overheard us. And then thought that we were, like, mocking her.
Oh, fuck.
And she made Christina come downstairs and kick me off set and tell me, like, you're not getting paid for today. I don't know if that came from Christina or if that came from her.
Oh, my God.
But I got
God.
Kicked off set.
Bad girl. So it sounds like something I would definitely do. Yeah, oh, man.
Set etiquette 101.
I know. And they take it so seriously sometimes. Just well, depends on like the client.
Big campaign.
Yeah. It's a big oh, like, my God.
It wasn't ready. That's scary. You know, I wasn't prepped. You know, like Christina should have been like, hey, like.
Yeah.
You live
gotta,
and you learn.
Yeah. You got to learn somehow.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyways, that was my whole journey from Orange County to San Francisco to New York. And then while I was doing, I ended up leaving Sephora like super quick. Maybe I was there for like 1 or 2 months. I was like, this is, I'm just going to do my own thing. But I was like, I need a side hustle. So I was like, I'm just going to get like a cocktail serving job, like whatever. Right. It works because a lot of my shoots were like in the morning or set work was in the morning or earlier. So I started working at this bar in Goldman Alley. It was like between, it was underneath Goldman Alley and Merrill Lynch.
Okay.
And so like all the finance bros would come down.
Yep.
And they were like such douchebags.
Yeah.
Like they would come in on Wednesday with like their wife and 2 kids. And then like the next day, Thursday, like the businessman's Friday, they closed the bar down with some like hot Russian chick at the bar. I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah, and you're just sitting back having to witness all of it and be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and, like, you better fucking tip me, asshole.
Yeah. Did they? Would they?
The younger finance guys, no. They were so cheap, but the older guys would.
Okay,
they would
that's
take
good.
Care of you. Good. Whatever. But anyways, so then back to the bar. So I was there for a long time. Harry's Italian, still there. Love that spot.
Aw.
Love the people that own it. They were like family to me.
Was this inspo for the name, Harry's?
No, but isn't that funny?
Oh, because it's probably spelled H-A-R. Yeah.
Yes.
Idiot.
Pregnant okay. brain. And actually never thought of that. I don't know how, but... Anyways, so then I had this two top one day, and it was like the start of my shift. I would usually work 4:30 to close because I would work usually in the morning. And I had this two top, and it was these two guys. One of them was like extremely good looking with like the best hairline I've ever seen in my entire life. I thought for sure he was gay because he was just so polished, just clean. And then the other guy was just like, looked like a businessman. Sorry, Dave. And then the really clean cut guy, Gio, was like, I love your eyebrows. You have really nice eyebrows.
Best eyebrows in the game.
Thank you. And I pitched myself because I always did. I was always trying to like hustle it, you know? Yep. And he goes, oh, well, we're actually starting this on demand app for beauty, on demand mobile beauty app, where we send like hair and makeup artists to set or to your hotel or to your wedding, like whatever. Yeah. And at this time, like, apps weren't really, like, a thing.
Right.
We only knew, like, Uber. You know what I mean?
Such a genius idea, by the way.
Yeah. They killed it with that. But I was like, oh, like, that's interesting. They're like, yeah, we're holding auditions on Monday if you want to come by. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I think this was, like, a Thursday or a Friday. Mm-hmm. I remember leaving, and I, like, called my mom. I'm like, oh, my God, I met these guys. Like, super excited. And she's like, well, that sounds like a scam. Because apps weren't a thing, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, like, maybe, but, like, I don't know. They seemed nice. I'm going to go. And
yeah.
She thinks I'm crazy.
Right.
So she's like, okay, whatever, Alex. Just, like, give me your location. Like, I don't even know if locations were a thing then.
Could you even share your location then? I feel like.
Maybe just check it. Call her before and after or whatever. So I went. It was Monday. And by Wednesday, I was taking my first job with them.
Wow. So it was super legit. And they had a bunch of other people there as well.
So it was called Glam Squad. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. So they were the founders of Glam Squad.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't even started yet. There was only one other makeup artist, Kelly. She was the creative director of makeup artistry. And then there was Holly, who was, like, right below her. And then I think I was, like, the third or fourth makeup artist that they hired in the company. So we, like—
That's amazing. Started,
yeah, it was so fun. It was such a, like, wild ride. And they were— they introduced me to so many good people that like helped me start, you know, Harry along the way and just inspired me. And it was just like such a good network to be in at that time. It was fun. Like I was working on Good Morning America. I was with a bunch of celebrities because there were no makeup artists yet in the company, but they were connected to like all these big names and they had killer PR teams. So they're like getting all these good jobs. And then they wanted to launch the LA market.
and they knew I was from Orange County. And even though I was like 22 at the time, like they saw it was fucking crazy and like hustled my ass off. So they were like, do you want to launch the LA market? And at this time, I was like, yeah, but I had only been in New York for like 2.5, maybe 3 years at this time. And I kind of wanted to stay, but I was like, this is such a good opportunity.
Yeah.
So I took it and I went and I launched LA and I built the team from 0 to 60 as a 23-year-old.
That is so impressive.
It was crazy.
So you did all the hiring process and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So I also had Nicole. She helped me like hire and interview everybody. We call them auditions because they would try out. You know
right,
I mean?
Right. So would they have to come in and just like do somebody's makeup or how would they audition?
Yeah. So okay. There was like preliminary resume, then a phone interview, and then we'd meet them in person and they'd do an audition just doing someone's makeup. And then after that, we would do like a normal interview, you know?
Yeah.
And then we would decide if we were going to move forward with them.
Cool.
Yeah. It was fun.
That is fun.
Yeah. So then like I wasn't getting to do makeup anymore because I was just like managing. And it was like kind of soul sucking for me because I'm such a creative.
Right. Yeah.
And I had like a falling out with my counterpart. I was the lead makeup artist and there was a lead hairstylist. And him and I would just like butt heads.
Oh.
So bad. And he like, he would tell on me like we were supposed to wear all black. And if I wore like black and this pink, he would like call Kelly.
That's so annoying.
So, yeah. So I had like a falling out with him and I was like, I want to do makeup again. So I was like, I want to work on a show. I live in LA. I want to be in TV now.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to leave Glam Squad. And then Nicole, who works for me now, she ended up taking my position. But she's one of my best friends.
Oh, amazing.
And my goal was to just work on a TV show. And I was like, okay, I need a side hustle again. So this was 2015 and I started to see microblading and I was like, I want to do that. What is it? Is it hair? Is it tattoo? Like, I didn't even know what it was, but I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So I found a school in Pico Robertson and I just like paid the $2,500 for the course. It was like a 2-day course. And literally within that year, it like took off because it was so early on with microblading.
Yeah. That's like when it first started, huh?
Yeah. And then within that same year, I started working on Housewives.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So it was just like boom, boom. And it was just crazy.
I didn't know you worked on Housewives.
Yeah.
Wow. So Housewives of Beverly Hills. Damn. I bet you saw some shit.
It was fun. My client, Teddy, she was amazing. I love her. She's,
okay, so you got assigned like one specific person to do?
So I actually met Teddy when I was working at Glam Squad.
Okay.
Because she would hire us through Glam Squad to do her makeup.
Okay, and so then she requested you?
She kept requesting me, but then the busier I got with managing the team, the less makeup I got to do. Anyway, she started hiring me just privately when I left Glam Squad. And then one day I was like doing her makeup and she was like, oh, by the way, like I'm trying out for the show. And I was like, oh, what show? She's like Real Housewives. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
You have to get this. And then she like literally said it was me and this girl, Laura, who always did her hair.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, if you get this, we need to be
you
like
need to bring
your
us
people.
On. Yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, of course. So she went through the whole process of all the interviews and
wow. She got it. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was fun.
What a cool opportunity. How long did that last?
She was on for 2 seasons. And then I was just working with her privately, like after she got let go or fired or whatever, because she still had like a bunch. She started a podcast. Like she was still doing like press stuff.
Right.
And then COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then all production was shut down.
Yep.
And then she moved to Encino.
Where did you live at the time? Were you living in Beverly Hills?
I lived in Beverly Hills, but then Vince was commuting from Beverly Hills to Riverside. So he was like, my office is about to move to Corona, which is a little closer. I was like, the best I can do is downtown.
Yeah.
So we moved to downtown, which was super fun. We lived in the Arts District for a while.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
But he was like, we need like a hard out because I can't. He was miserable.
Yeah, that's
bless
tough.
Yeah. But my salon, I opened my first Harry in 2017.
In 2017. Okay. Obviously before COVID.
Yeah.
How did COVID affect the business?
So in 2017, I opened downtown. in the arts district. And then in 2019, because Vince was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, we're going to eventually have to move back to Orange County. And he was like, don't you want to have babies? Like, what's the deal here? Because we got married in 2020.
Okay.
And I was like, yes, I do. But I'm just like not ready yet. I'm not ready to like say goodbye to this. So in 2019, I opened up a tiny little studio in Lido Village, Newport Beach.
Okay.
Because I was like, just me, but I need to start building clientele there. So when I do move, I'm not just like starting from scratch.
Yeah.
So I still have it, actually. It's in Lido and it's a 2-bed little studio.
Cute.
Super cute. But I thank God I opened that in 2019 because nobody in Orange County cared about COVID. Because literally in LA, so none of my landlords gave any like rent forgiveness or whatever. They had the moratorium, but you still had to pay. So it's like, do you want to pay now or do you want to pay later?
Right.
And like let it build up. So my tiny little 2-bed space in Newport Beach like carried the whole business because I had to close down.
Wow.
In downtown because nobody would come in. And plus it was like the fucking apocalypse in downtown LA.
Yeah. Thank God for Orange County.
Thank God. It was like we were calling it Black Market Brows. People.
I love that. That's so dope. Wow. That's so cool. And so now how many locations do you have?
So in 2021, the lease was up in Arts District. So 2021, we moved to Sunset Plaza.
Perfect.
West Hollywood. And then.
Such a good location.
Love it there. We're still there. And then 2022, we opened up Costa Mesa. So we have Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, West Hollywood, and then in January, Manhattan Beach.
Ah, that's so exciting.
Yeah, we're excited.
Wow. That is so amazing. Wow. What a journey.
I know. I want you to come in.
I know. I can't believe I still haven't.
You don't need anything, but
no, I
want to treat you.
I do. I need my brow, because I don't know if this happens. It does. I don't think it probably happens to you because you have the most amazing brows, but for some reason, when I was pregnant last time with Hunter, my eyebrows got super light and sparse.
Yeah. My sister, this happens to my sister during pregnancy.
I'm like, what is going on? And the same thing is happening this time as well. So I don't know if it's like my hormones acting up or what, but I need to fix that. I also want to try lip blush too.
Yeah. Well, you can't do that pregnant.
Yeah.
But we'll save that.
But you can still do everything else though, right?
You can do brow lamp. But if your brow hairs are like temperamental right now, let's hold off on brow lamb until they're like strong and healthy. We'll do henna, which is what I love to do on my eyebrows all the time, and it's super
safe. I want
safe.
Whatever you have.
Henna. We'll do henna.
So that kind of just makes them permanently the color that you want?
So like for 2 weeks, it'll take place of like your eyebrow makeup.
Amazing.
So you won't have to fill them in. And since you are losing hair or whatever, it's thinning right now with the hormones, it'll kind of make them look a little beefier than they actually are.
That's so nice.
You could also do a lash lift because you have the most amazing lashes.
Yeah. I'm scared of lash stuff for some reason. I don't know.
Lash lift is like not a big deal.
It's not like lash extensions.
No.
Okay. No. So it's kind of like a perm for your eyelashes?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And then what happens when it goes away? Just like
it just wears off.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you get over processed, which isn't going to happen with us, but they can get a little like kinky.
Okay.
But that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you do too?
I do lash extensions.
Lash extensions. Yeah. Oh, yours looks so good.
I'm extra. You know this.
But like normally lash extensions, I just feel like
they're too much.
Too much.
I do at Harriet's called the Quickie, which is like a half set. So if you get like a classic full set, it's lashing every single one of your lashes. Whereas the Quickie is like every 2 to 3 lashes. So it's not as heavy.
Okay. So as far as services you guys offer, walk us through what you offer.
Yes. So we're known for our brows, obviously. Yeah. Microblading, microfeathering, which is my signature technique. We also do nano brows, which is like our newest, hottest service. It's a really fluffy brow look, but it's actually done with the permanent makeup machine, whereas the microblading and feathering is done with like a handheld tool.
Okay.
So it gives a stroke like microblading, but it's pixelated. So it's softer. Like if you were to do it because you don't like a super defined brow, nano brows would be perfect for you.
Okay.
Because it's very like soft. Once it heals, it's like very, very, very soft.
I love
it's
that.
It's not like a solid stroke. It's like a wispy kind of.
Is that new? Like, is that a new technology that?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
You can see here. And that's fresh. So once it heals, it's going to be like.
And it's so subtle. I like that.
Yeah. Just light. So we do lip blush, mm-hmm. which you would love. Yeah. You have amazing lips.
And I just feel like they're so, as I get older, they just get paler and paler, liner. Which is annoying. So I always have to like apply my lip liner and I'm like, oh, yeah, so annoying.
I know. I almost did it, but then I got pregnant and I was like, fuck, now I gotta wait.
Yeah.
And then, so lip blush is, it's filling in your whole lip, mm-hmm. like almost like a watercolor wash of pigment within your whole lip. And it also enhances your lip line. But right. yeah, but we also do baby blush, which is no lip line. It's just kind of like a soft shade.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's like the little sister to lip blush. And then we do lash extensions, lash lifts, brow lamination, brow henna, normal brow shaping, tweeze and trim, and freckles. Which I got my freckles done.
Cute. Yeah, I didn't know you did freckles mm-hmm. with henna. Or what do you use?
You can do henna, but these are actually tattoo. But they only last about 6 months because it's stick and poke. So she like pokes a little.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Does anywhere else do that? Is that like a thing?
Yeah. Okay. But it's not super popular, but it's like fun. And like for me, I just like darkened mm-hmm. two that I already had.
Oh, I love that. I know. I used to be so ashamed of my freckles. Natural freckles, and now it's like such a thing.
I know. I love them.
It's so funny.
They're so cute.
So are yours. Thank they look you. Super cute. So how did you and Vince meet?
We met at Coachella.
Oh, my God.
I was actually like opening my first salon, and I had met him. I like swore off guys because I was with my ex before Vince. I like can't even think about him because he freaks me out. But I caught him cheating with Craigslist people.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Men and women.
Shut the fuck
up. Traumatizing.
And it Craigslist of all like babe, what? How did you? Okay, sorry. I just need. Can we please? We need to elaborate on this, Craigslist. Wait, how did you catch him?
Well, also he had like a gambling addiction.
Okay, so red flag.
Which I kind of knew, but like I didn't know the extent of it.
Okay.
Like saying it all out loud, like after the fact, you're like, wow, I'm so stupid. But
yeah, but when you're in it, you just, you don't know. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. So like he like sold his computer, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's fucking weird. Like, why would you sell your computer, you fucking weirdo? But okay, like whatever.
Like a desktop?
No, computer? Like a laptop.
Okay.
So, okay, back to New York. Okay, mm-hmm. I met Blake. This is the ex that I'm talking about right now, the fucking creeper.
Yeah.
I met Blake in New York and one of my best friends, Austin, who's one of still my best friends. Mm-hmm. But him and Austin were best friends. But when I was moving to LA, I was like, I knew in my head, this is my chance to get away from Blake. Because I knew he wasn't like my forever person.
Yeah.
He was just like fun for the time. Mm-hmm. And Austin was already moving to LA because he was an actor. And I was like, okay, Blake, like I'm moving, like I have this opportunity, I have to take it. And he's like, well, I'm going to go if you're going to go. Like, I don't want to be without you. And I thought that was romantic at the time.
Yeah, I get it.
But I knew in like the depth of my soul, like this is not good.
Your intuition, baby.
That's like my one biggest thing that I tell all my girls, like, trust your gut.
Yeah.
I may not have, like, scientific evidence to back this up, but my gut tells me, and I know. Yeah. So, yeah. So, he sold his computer. I was taking my computer to Starbucks on the corner one day to, like, get some work done. Mm-hmm. And I opened my computer, and he fucking left his email up. So, I'm, like, not thinking anything of it. And I, like, open it. I'm, like, about to exit out. And I see, like, a weird Craigslist email.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I was like, what the? I was like, what is this? So I click it. And it was like, he had like posted an ad or something. And somebody was like responding to it. And it was like creepy shit. Like, I don't even remember what it was. And so, like, I searched Craigslist in the search bar in the subject.
Yeah.
And like hundreds of emails, but dating back to when he was with his ex.
Oh my God.
Like, this man had an issue.
Wow. So he was like addicted to it.
Yeah. He was an addict.
Yeah.
He was
like
a gambling addict, a sex addict.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's crazy that he was able to hide it.
I know. And that's a Russian spy. So it makes no sense. And I saw men and women. So I'm like, this motherfucker, like, what is, am I like,
oh my God.
I need to go get tested. Yeah. Like,
how'd you confront him about it?
So this is how crazy I am.
What?
I called my mom. Uh huh. And I'm like, I told my mom everything because at this moment I was like, you're fucking dead to me because that's how I am. I don't have a lot of leeway with like bullshit like this. Like
yeah.
If it's something stupid, fine. But like with this, it's like, I'm an ice queen. You're cut.
Yeah, you have to.
So I called my mom and I told her everything. And she was like, okay, he's at work right now. Like just compose yourself. And like when he comes home, like deal with it. So I sent myself like a shit ton of the emails and mm-hmm. I started forwarding them off to his work email.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And he called me like instantly and I was like, Alex, like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, like, we're done. You're moving out. Like, get your fucking shit out of here.
Wow. Was he so like embarrassed?
Yeah. And then he was a runner and he would do like long runs. And some of the runs would take like 3-4 because like when you're running, like,
yeah, it takes a long time.
Like 24 miles. Like he would be like, yeah, I would say I was going on a run and I was like.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah. So I swore off men.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rightfully like, so.
This is like the beginning of January when this all transpired with Blake. Uh-huh. And then in April, my girlfriend, my best friend was like, come to Coachella. Like, let's just have fun. Like, girls time. Like, we already have a place to stay. We're staying at this guy Vince's house. Like, he already said the girls can have the casita, blah, blah, blah. Aww. Like, I'm not going. Because I worked Coachella as a makeup artist. And I was like, I hate Coachella. Like, it's too much, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Like, a week before, she kept asking me. Like, a week before, I was like, if I can get tickets, I'll go. I got tickets and I was like, you're sure this guy Vince is like chill with me staying there? Like, I don't know him, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, it's fine. So I went and Vince opened the door. Like, I shit you not, he opened the door when we got in like that Thursday and there was like little chemistry.
Oh, that is so cute. So, yeah, like, you knew kind of immediately. You were like,
well, I knew like we were probably gonna like
hook up. Yeah.
Not I to like sound that. Like a
no, I mean, whatever.
Flimsy.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was like a little like spark.
And that was the beginning of everything. So let's talk a little bit about motherhood and like how becoming a mother has changed you, how it's changed your life. It's like the best thing that's ever happened. And I can't picture my life mm-hmm. without having a child now. It's weird.
Yeah.
And it just like, it just puts everything into perspective, I feel like, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because before having children, you're like, it's just about you and like what's going on. And then when you have someone else to take care of, it just changes. And you're like, oh, it's not just about me anymore.
Yeah. I feel the same. I always hear like your kids teach you lessons. I feel like Leo, I am obsessed with Leo and
so cute.
He is my little man's like.
His little karate outfit the other day.
I can't.
Is it karate, right?
Or is it jujitsu?
Jujitsu. Does he like it?
He loved it, but then he woke up the next day with double pink eye. So,
shit.
So we're taking a little break until, because he still is not 100%.
Yeah. Oh, poor baby.
I know.
That sucks.
I know. But he's the best. he's so hard, but now that he's older and able to, like, you know, vocalize like his feelings, it's getting better. But like when he was a newborn, he was colic, like he didn't sleep for 6 months. Girl, I was going through it. Nobody told me this.
Nobody talks about it.
And I don't know if you feel this way, but like same as you, amazing. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's the best thing in the world, but it's the hardest.
But it's also the hardest.
I feel like with the second, I'm so excited and I'm really starting to get more excited now that we're like in getting to the fifth month and like whatever. But I feel that I'm more nervous this time around.
Me too.
Yeah. Because you know what to expect.
Exactly.
You know what you're getting
into. The first time around, you're like, oh, I'm kind of like curious. Like, what is this going to be like?
It's like romantic. You're like, my life with a baby.
Yeah. And then you kind of just like adjust. But now you're like, oh my God, I have this toddler to look after and a fucking newborn. Yeah. Like, how on earth?
And like the schedule of it all, like
that's what I wanted to talk to you about, like how your second pregnancy is differing than your first. Are you experiencing kind of like similar symptoms or like how are you feeling in comparison?
I was convinced it was a girl because I felt so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the first trimester, I was like super sick this time around. Like with Leo, I was like feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
First trimester, I was like hungry. I wanted bagels every day. Like I was such a fat ass.
Bagels have been my thing. I eat a bagel every day.
Bagels. Like with Leo, that's all I wanted. Bagels and like carby smoothies.
It's interesting because that's me now with the girl.
They say girls are like sweeter.
Yes. Like, you crave more sweets. And I think with boys, you're supposed to crave more like savory.
Yeah. Who the hell knows?
I think every pregnancy is so different.
Yeah.
You can't really like categorize it.
Totally. And so this time I was like super sick. I like didn't have an appetite for a while, which I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like maybe,
wow.
Maybe I won't like be a house this time. But it all hit the second trimester. I felt really good. My appetite's back. I feel like myself again, which I'm like that's so good. Happy about.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm just more tired and you don't have the time to rest.
Yeah, I
with
know.
Baby number two.
I know. I feel like I didn't take advantage of that enough when I was the pregnant first. The first time because you just don't know. You're like, yeah. Oh yeah, whatever. I'm just going to like work through this and whatever. The baby's going to come and it's going to be great. But it's like, yeah, I wish I had taken advantage of not having to take care of another child.
You know? I don't know. Does Hunter still nap?
We're trying to wean him off of naps. Yeah. But for the most part, yeah, he will nap. Does Leo?
Leo does. And I'm like holding on to it with like dear life.
Yeah.
And like there's been a few times during this pregnancy that I'm like, Leo needs to nap because I need to nap.
Yes.
And like if I can't get him to nap, I will literally like cry because I'm like, I'm so tired.
Yeah, I'm not joking. Every day around like 3 or 4 p.m., I have to take a nap. I mean, obviously, it's hard if like I don't have help that day, but I will force Hunter. And I'm like, I don't, because the reason we're trying to wean him off is because if he does nap, he'll stay up till like 11 p.m.
Oh my God. No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No,
yeah. No, yeah. No, yeah. No. Yeah. So,
what time will he go to sleep if he doesn't nap?
He'll want to go to sleep around like 6, which I'm like, that's too early though, because then he'll wake up in the middle of the night. And so I try to push it to like 8 o'clock.
Yeah. We say 8, but it ends up being like 9.
And then he'll sleep till when?
His little hatch light goes off at 7. So he'll definitely stay in until 7, even if he's up. But like usually like 7 or 7:30.
That's good. Yeah. See, like Hunter will actually, he really will sleep in, which is a good thing.
Till what time?
He'll sleep in till like 9:30, 10 sometimes. What? But it's because he's staying up so late. It's because he's such a, like a night owl. And
I'm
also.
So jealous.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I think I would actually rather.
Be earlier?
No, I think I would rather him sleep in and go to bed later than go to bed early and wake up early. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard.
It depends, like, what you are. Yeah. You know? Like, we're early people. Mm-hmm. So, like, it would be hard for us to have him wake up at, like, 9:30 or 10 because we've already lived, like, four lives.
Right.
But, like, my sister is like you. She likes to sleep in until at least, like, 8.
Yeah. 8 is perfect.
And so it works for her, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm nervous.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I hope so. Right?
It's going to be great.
Yeah. It's just going to be such a transition. Like
people do it all the time. That's what I keep telling myself.
I know.
I'm like, how? I don't know. But people do it every day.
I know. It's wild.
So it has to be possible.
Right?
Yeah. Plus we have help, right?
Yeah. I mean.
Do you?
Not really.
Okay. I mean, maybe get some.
We have like a babysitter.
Okay.
But it's just not enough. And our family doesn't live here, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's tough. We have to get Hunter into school.
Yeah.
And then that will help out a lot. And so that way I can have the days with the baby and, yeah.
Yeah. I know it's hard.
Is Leo in?
He's in a little like a preschool. Daycare? Okay. But it's only 8 to 12, 3 days a week.
Okay. Yep.
But it's nice because he has a little time with his like friends and
that's
learning
cute.
And whatever, but I'm like, with the second baby, how is this gonna work?
Yeah,
because our nanny, we have her on Mondays for 4 hours and then all day Friday. But she said she can't do two, so I'm like, how is this?
Oh, she can't do two kids.
She can't do two kids. She's older, and she, which I appreciate, she takes her job very seriously, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, maybe start, like, searching for a second one and backup now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. My pregnancy has been so different.
Really?
Compared to Hunter's. Yeah, like, I feel like I had a very similar experience to you and Leo. Like, I feel like it was so easy the first time around. This time, I'm like,
taking you out.
Oh my God. It's so exhausting.
Are you tired or sick?
So tired. Mm-hmm. I was sick the first trimester, mm-hmm. but now it's like gone away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you can relate.
By like 8 o'clock, I'm like, Vince, I need to go to sleep.
I know. Same. I'm so tired. I know. I feel so lame. But
it's a lot being a woman. We have to wear a lot of hats. And, yes. Like, we're the house managers and, like, grocery shopping and cooking dinner. And
yeah, on top of that, like, our jobs and working. Trying to work. Yeah. And, yeah.
How's modeling going? Are you...
Right now, I'm taking a break.
Okay.
But once I start showing more...
You'll do...
Then I'll do maternity stuff.
Okay.
But ooh, I have to, like, fun. Pop a little bit more.
Yeah. I know we're at kind of the awkward phase.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I feel like a burrito.
Yeah. Same. And, like, none of my clothes fit. I'm just like, what do I wear? It's just that awkward stage of feeling like, I'm pregnant, guys. Like, yeah. I'm not just bloated. I'm not just bloated.
Like, gaining weight.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, like, excited for that little pop. I know,
me too.
Okay, let's move into some wellness stuff.
Okay.
Talk to me about what you do to stay mindful.
Okay, I am a workout fanatic, and it's not just, like, for the actual, like, exercise aspect. It's definitely my therapy. Like, mm-hmm. one of the things I try to do is just stay present.
Mm-hmm. And, so important.
Yeah, easier said than done, right? But that, I feel, is the only time of my day where I'm, like, connected to myself, not thinking about other things. I'm feeling my heart race, feeling my heartbeat. Like, I'm just present.
I relate so much. I feel the same exact way.
Yeah. So that's, like, my number one thing that I do at least five, six times a week.
Girl,
even
amazing.
If it's just movement,
yeah,
you know, walking or whatever.
For sure. And you have a personal trainer, right?
I do, 2 days a week. That was something that I never did until I had Leo.
Mm-hmm.
After I had my C-section with Leo, I was like, I have zero core strength now because they cut through the 6 layers or whatever.
Yeah. What was the recovery like from a C-section?
Honestly, I have nothing to compare it to, so it was fine.
Right, right. Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, the other side of it.
And then once you have a C-section, you'll probably have to have another one, right? Or can you do it vaginally, the second one?
You can. It's called a VBAC.
Okay.
When I met with my doctor, she was like, look, you can totally try to do vaginal, but mm-hmm. there is a chance that you end up in a C-section because your body never labored before. So we don't know, because some people can't diet or whatever. Like,
right.
But she's like, let's just assume you're like a normal, healthy person and can labor normally. You can do a VBAC. But she was like, what I suggest is we schedule your C-section because mm-hmm. I guess they like to do them like 38 to 39 weeks.
Yeah.
And then because she's like, I like to get the first slot of the day, like the early C-section.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's just what she liked. She was like, let's schedule it. And then if your body goes into labor naturally, then we try natural. I was like, I like that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
And with then, Leo, was it planned or?
It was planned because he was breech and the cord was wrapped. I didn't have an option. And
right.
I was upset at the time, but it was fine.
Yeah, it's how it was meant to happen.
Yeah, it was fine. So this time we're going to schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go into labor naturally, then I'm going to do that.
Cool. That's exciting.
I'm scared. I don't know what to expect.
I know. Yeah. It's...
Now that it's getting closer, I feel like I'm getting, like, nervous about labor.
Oh, my God. The moment I got pregnant, I was like, oh, my God. I have to go through labor again. So with a C-section, you go through the laboring process, right?
No,
like, no.
I never even. I know. It
so
was kind of sad.
So you don't experience, like, contractions or anything like that?
I
never
ever
really talked
have
to anybody about this.
My water didn't break. I didn't have any contractions.
Okay.
Which, like, is sad.
But you have to do it, right?
Because I had to. Yeah.
For safety.
Yeah, I'm glad that because there's something that they can do called the ECV,
mm-hmm.
which is where they try to externally turn the baby because he was breech.
Right.
But we didn't know that the cord was wrapped.
Oh, because they can't really tell ahead of time, can you?
I feel like at the end they don't like ultrasound you know, like that week or whatever. At least I feel like that's my main thing. Like, how did they not see that on the ultrasound?
That's true. Yeah.
But anyways, like my scheduled C-section was on a Monday, and the Friday beforehand, I was getting off work. I know I'm crazy. I worked like
all the way until, but Friday after work, I was like, I think something was going on down there. Like, yeah. I felt like water. Mm-hmm. I'm like, did my water break? Or, you know, the end, it gets a little dicey down there.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
So my doctor was like, just go to the hospital just to, like, make sure it's not amniotic fluid, because if it was your water, you can go septic, like, whatever. And I got freaked out. So I'm like, let me just go. So I went to triage. They tested it. It wasn't amniotic fluid, but they're like, a C-section's major surgery. Why don't we try to do the ECV? We can do it here for you today, which is the external turn of the baby.
Yeah.
And so I had asked my doctor, my OB, prior to this at one of our appointments about the ECV, because I wanted to get it done because I was like set on having a natural birth. Mm-hmm. She's such a good doctor. She was like, look, like, this is your first pregnancy. Things are a lot tighter in there, as if this was your second or third.
Yeah.
And like, a lot of times in my experience, when babies are breached, they're breached for a reason. Mm. And she said that, and it just like stuck with me.
Yeah.
And so when I was at Hogue and they were like, do you want to do the ECV today so you don't have to have the major surgery? I called Vince and I was like, hey, they want to do the ECV. Should I do it?
Is it guaranteed to work?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't. Anyways, Vince was like, no, let's trust Gigi. Gigi was my doctor. He's like, let's just trust Gigi. Da, da, da. So then that Monday when they were taking him out, the cord was wrapped twice. And I'm just thinking, and like, he had to be resuscitated. He was stuck under my rib. It was like a whole thing. And I'm like, thank God I didn't do the ECV, because if they would have turned him and the cord was like,
oh my gosh,
what would have happened? Yeah. You know, like, I don't even like thinking that. And he was breached the whole time. He never went down. So she was like, a lot of times they'll go from breach to like normal, whatever that's called.
They'll like flip on their own.
Yeah. She's like, no, let's just trust it.
Yeah.
Thank God I did.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you have been using a personal trainer ever since your C-section.
Yeah.
So, and it's helped a lot.
Yeah, I think so. I just feel like I didn't have any core strength. Mm-hmm. My back was getting hurt easily because I didn't have the core strength. And I definitely highly recommend it because it taught me so much about like my body and like how to move properly. And
I feel like it's just nice to have somebody who's a professional and just tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So you don't have to think about it.
Just tell me what to do.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
No, I love my trainer.
That's amazing.
Godsend.
Yeah. How do you listen to your intuition?
I just do.
Yeah.
And I was actually just chatting with a girl on my team about it this morning because I was feeling intuitive about something with work. Every single time I've ever had like a gut intuition, it's always been right. And I just learned that about myself. Like, I just have to always follow it and trust it. And when you become a mom too, you get 100%. Like mom's intuition on top of.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing like how in tune we are with our kids too. Like
They're like an extension of us.
Yeah, literally. What are some of your lifestyle non-negotiables? Oh, yeah, beauty tips too. Like, give us some beauty tips.
Non-negotiables, you wash your face, double cleanse every single night, even if you're blacked out drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Every single night. So I do a double cleanse every night. And
what are you using?
It's a new Japanese clean brand. They sent it to me.
Beauty by Josen?
It's in a pink bottle. Send you a picture of it when I get home.
Okay.
But they have an oil cleanser and then they have a foaming cleanser. So I start with the oil cleanser and then I use the cream cleanser after. And then I do micellar water on a cotton pad until there's no more makeup on my face or my chest. And then I actually use the SkinCeuticals, the 10% glycolic at night.
Do you like it?
I do. I love it.
I feel like everybody loves that brand.
Yeah. I like it because it's active and... Mm-hmm. You know, it's not super clean, but I need, like, at least for my serum and my more active product, like, I want something that's going to work and be effective. And then I seal everything in with the Living Libations, the sea buckthorn berry, the oil.
Oh, I've heard a lot of good things about that, too.
And then the Laneige lip balm.
Oh, bougie. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you don't use a moisturizer. You just use an oil.
I just use an oil. Right now, I always change it up, but right now I'm just using oil.
Okay. Cool.
But I think the cleansing is everything, especially if you're somebody that wears makeup every day.
Mm-hmm. It's so important.
Yeah. It's easy to get clogged pores with makeup. Even if you're using clean makeup, they can still be comedogenic and you want to get it all off.
So important. What are some other lifestyle non-negotiables for you?
I dry brush and gua sha at least like 3 to 4 times a week. I gua sha my face. Like now that I'm pregnant, I try to do it like every day because I just feel the puff. Mm-hmm. Especially my face.
Yeah.
And my hands.
Mm-hmm. My face holds it a lot too.
Yeah. I try to do it like every day, at least like every weekday. Mm-hmm. And then I dry brush a few times a week. I love my self-tanners.
What self-tanners do you use?
I use a pregnancy-safe one right now. It's called Botanic Tree.
Okay, I have to get that.
I love that. What else do I do? That's a beauty non-negotiable. My hair oil every week. I think it's called Roots. Mm-hmm. I love that one. I'll send you a picture of it, too, when I get home.
Yeah, your hair is amazing.
So is yours. Yeah, but I'll do that, and I'll wear it in, like, a slick bun for, like, a day. And then I'll do, like, a double shampoo when I wash it the next day and give myself a nice blow up.
How many times a week do you usually wash your hair?
Like once.
Same.
Yeah. That's why, like, my blowout needs to be a good-ass blowout. Mm-hmm. And I need to double shampoo so it lasts.
Yeah.
And I try not to use too much product in my hair or else it just doesn't last.
Yeah, same.
And now that I'm pregnant, I'm just trying to like lube up this belly and my back and my sides and my boobs.
Yeah.
Don't want to get any stretch marks.
I know. Did you first time around?
No, I didn't. I was amazing. Lucky. Did you?
No, actually. Like knock on wood.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully this time
this is
too.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah. I got stretch marks when I was like in middle school, like same. On my sides and my thighs.
Yeah.
So I'm like. Maybe it already stretched.
Right. Yeah. Maybe I'm already stretched out.
Yeah. There's enough going on, enough laxity.
Yeah. I feel like I'm very religious about lubing up.
You got to lube it up. Mm-hmm. Especially the boobs. I feel like the boobs get scary.
Yeah. And mine have been, like, this time around, are growing so much faster.
They're huge.
And they're, like, and I was like, oh, they're itchy. And I'm like, that's
mine are
sign.
Too.
That's a sign that the skin is stretching.
Okay. Mine is just from the nipple down.
So itchy. I'm like, oh,
is
God.
Yours itchy everywhere?
Yeah.
Oh, mine's like the bottom of it.
Yeah.
But
so
it's like
sensitive.
I'm gonna itch the skin off.
Same. Okay. We already kind of talked a little bit about your fitness routine for your, like, that's what you do to stay mindful. So, like, on a weekly basis, what does it look like for you? Are you weight training?
Yes. So, I weight train Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I'm with my trainer Mondays and Thursdays, and then I go to the gym myself Wednesdays and Fridays. And then the other days I'm walking. Sundays I like to do like a little run, like a little slow ass jog right now that I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
But
that's
yeah.
so good.
Or I'll take a day off from the gym and go to Pilates. I love BeFit Pilates.
Mm-hmm. BeFit. I've never done that.
I think they're more an OC.
Okay.
But they're not Legree, but they're Legree style. And that's kind of my split for now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good, though. And you've stayed on it the whole pregnancy?
Yeah, I'm scared of getting fat.
You won't.
Yes, I will.
We all are bound to during pregnancy a little bit. But
keep it at bay.
It's so good, though, that you've been able to keep at it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so much like for my mental health, too, and just
are you a morning person workout? Yeah.
I feel like I'm early girl. Mm-hmm. I'm up at like 5:30 or 6 just naturally without an alarm clock. So like I like to just bang it out in the morning.
Yeah. It's the best way. Because then you feel accomplished. You feel like, okay, I got that out of the way.
Yeah. And my pregnancy cravings this time around have been so much more. Just like eating stuff that I wouldn't usually eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't usually like eat a cupcake if I have it at the house or I'll eat it the first day. But this time I'm like, if the cupcakes are there, I'm eating one a day until they're gone.
Yep. It's good that you keep it to one a day at least. I mean, yeah.
But like, I'm eating like this.
Just being like more lenient with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important.
Yeah. Not as restrictive as I usually would be.
Yeah. Because then I have this mindset of like, okay, once this baby's out, it's like
snap
go
back.
Time.
Yep.
Go time, baby.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Because I think
hard.
We're both done after this. I mean, for me at least, I'm definitely
you're done.
Yeah. No
boy
more.
And girl, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I think I'm done.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh.
No, yeah. like I'm done.
Yeah.
But like, now that it's not a girl, I'm like,
you're like, maybe. I'll have
and then it'll be 3 boys.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
No,
crazy.
I'm done.
Crazy.
I'm done. I'll get a girl dog.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, one last question I ask everyone at the end is, if you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice, what would you say to the younger version of yourself?
Keep fucking going.
Yeah!
Don't listen to negative people and negative voices, and trust your intuition.
Yes, that's such a good one. I love that. Where can everyone find you? Where can everybody find Hairy Little Things? Like, drop all the socials.
Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Alexandria Caparelli with an I, A-L-I-X. And then same handle for TikTok. And then same with Instagram, Hairy Little Things.
Yay! And everybody, go check out Hairy Little Things. Get your brows done.
Yes, we would love to see your lashes. Can we do like a promo code or something?
Yeah, if you want to, if you're open to it, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, you can make it whatever you want, and I'll just make it live.
Okay, yeah.
Like a 15% off for your listeners.
Yeah, we'll do code, or like we'll do, I don't know, we'll come up with something.
Yeah, we'll come up with something.
MILF?
Oh my God, yes.
I mean, it works. Code on MILF brand.
For first-time clients.
Oh, amazing.
15% off.
You're code the best. MILF. Yes. Okay. And it is pregnancy safe to get a few things done.
Yeah, okay. You can't get anything permanent or semi-permanent, but you can do henna, lamination, lash lift, brow shaping.
Okay. Cool. Everybody go check it out. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. You're amazing. You're the best, Cherokee. Love you. Love you.
Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you gained some insight on how to practice becoming more mindful, learned the importance of listening to your intuition, gained some lifestyle takeaways and fitness tips. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast. It means so much to me and is really the best way to support the show. And if you feel inclined, please do not hesitate to leave a review. You can follow me on Instagram at Cherokee Luker and the podcast at The MILF Way. So make sure you follow along to access my personal content and content pertaining to the podcast to help you become the best version of yourself. Talk to you all very soon. Love, love.